I love that he can show joy in the most perfect way. And whether he's at the beach and his hands are flapping, whether he's screeching from the top of his lungs, or his facial expressions just express such joy. That's something often we hold together, right? We can laugh, we can giggle, but then we hear ourselves in videos and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we laughed like that. Or look at mm-hmm. that smile. That smile is not perfect. That is so not flattering. Right. Just to see that in Jackson, that just makes me smile. That just brightens my day.
Hello and welcome to SynGap One Stories, hosted by me, Ashley Fry. Every couple of weeks, I spread information and awareness about a rare disease that affects my son Nathan. It's called SynGap One. I chat with parents, siblings, caregivers, and others about the challenges and successes of their journey with someone impacted by SynGap One. I hope you enjoy today's conversation. Hello, everyone. I am very excited for my conversation today with Monica Harding. She lives in beautiful San Diego, California, with her forever partner, Aaron, her 17-year-old SynGapian, Jackson, and two older daughters, Natalie and Michaela. Many of you have followed Monica and Aaron over the years. They are another family in SRF who have been involved from the early days, evidenced by Jackson's Warrior Wednesday story. He's one of the very first ones, and I highly encourage you to check that out. Of course, the link is going to be in our show notes. Monica is a stay-at-home mom and a caregiver to Jackson, and also serves as the SRF ambassador for California and the surrounding states. So many of you in that area will have met her at some point. Monica, welcome, and thank you for chatting with me today.
Hi.
Okay, so let's jump in. Tell us a little bit about Jackson.
Jackson is 17, going on 18 in October. He has changed most recently over the past year or so. At one point, he was very active, seemed like he always had to be going, doing something, like our typical SynGapians, younger ones. So we were always on the go, whether we were at the beach, whether we were at the amusement park here close by, whether we were riding escalators or swimming or going down water slides. We were always very active with Jackson. But it seems like as he's gotten older, and I guess this is just very typical of his age, he is kind of a homebody. He's really into his iPad, like most of our SynGapians or a typical 17, 18-year-old, really into his few videos, some shows. But he does get excited about going to the Balboa Park museums now. He does have, I should say he does have global delays. So he is not your typical 17, 18-year-old that would be interested in, reading what the science is all about or the museums. Mm-hmm. It's more of the sensory input and doing things like that, watching the movies, the 4D movies, experiencing things like that, SeaWorld, yeah. Thrill Seeker, to the nth degree.
Yeah.
No baby rides. It's all about the crazy rides.
Yeah. We were looking at amusement parks recently. We're like, I wonder if Nathan could ride any of the rides. And he's still a little bit too short. But that is not Jackson's case. He's a pretty big boy. How tall is he?
He is now 5'9", at least 200 pounds. And he is solid. And because of his gait, he heavily relies on us for transferring, for sometimes even walking. He needs that reassurance. So you'll see him reaching out for our hands, reaching out for our arms, even to the point where we have him push his wheelchair because he does have a medically issued wheelchair. And he relies heavily on his orthotics that he's had for countless years. So big boy.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember a couple, it must have been maybe 2 years ago, you made a post on social media, like watching surfers at the beach, and you were talking about, you be good surfers and don't get hurt and be careful. And he was just loving that, that moment. And, you know, it's not like he was interacting with them, but he was so engaged with what they were doing and how they were moving. And I absolutely loved the joy on his face. So is that something, is that an activity he likes to do often, is check out the surfers?
He loves to check out the surfers. He does love to surf as well.
Awesome.
Yes, we surf with a paddleboard, and he's now at this size, he cannot stand fully upright. So it's on his belly, but with his arms extended, and loves catching those waves. And you know, we've learned the lingo of the surfers, and you know, so he thrives on that. And I don't know if it's always us, if it's just that we're always telling him, you know, be careful, calm body, calm voice. And the fact that I'm telling that to the surfers, I find myself often telling, you know, the dog that, or even my, our chickens. So I'm always, he loves that interaction of me telling like almost a narrative. So that's our closeness. I can say that's our thing that we do. But yes, back to surfing, loves the beach, loves to watch people, loves to watch people, wipe out. So yes.
That's cool. All right. And I understand that he was diagnosed in 2015. How old was he at diagnosis?
He was, 10, almost 10. And it was quite the journey. We knew early on that he had global delays. He had a very traumatic birth. He had his umbilical cord three times around the neck. And he was very large baby at 40 weeks. So he was very large, and he had a fractured clavicle coming out. It was a very scary situation. So we knew, well, we didn't know, but we all often wondered, were the global delays due to his traumatic birth? Did he have something more happening? But thankfully, Aaron, being in the medical field, very close with our pediatrician at the time, he initialized early intervention, and gosh, by at least 10 months, we were starting physical therapy, OT.
Wow.
Even before two, we started speech therapy. So yeah, he was very, very much behind the curve. And we had two other girls, two other daughters to compare him to. So we knew he wasn't doing what he should be doing. So we started the early intervention soon, and, you know, just cracked away at all the therapies. Meanwhile, we were having EEGs done, MRIs, you name it. We were doing it. At age 3.5 or so, we did get the diagnosis of PDD-NOS, and this was mainly to get ABA therapy. So we had the autism diagnosis early on, and then shortly after that is when our seizures started. And I didn't realize they were seizures. Aaron had been deployed already once, and then getting ready to go on his second deployment. And, you know, just having a child with issues walking, he walked very late, 24 months. I don't even think he had a steady gait at that point, but, he was having seizures, and I had no idea. And it wasn't until I was with Aaron at the same time, and he had a visual of his eyes. I watched his body kind of crumble. And Aaron nailed it. He said, "That's a seizure." And I thought, what the heck? Like, how did I miss this over the years? Well, I missed it because he was often clumsy, due to his off gait.
Right.
So it was very normal for him to fall. So anyways, our seizure started then. We started medication. Jackson also was, in the early start at school. And then Aaron went off to deployment. But it wasn't until, we continued to progress with our therapies. Just, okay, we're doing everything we can. There's not much else we can do. Except try different seizure medications. But, at age 6, Aaron had come back from deployment. I'm really fast forwarding here, but Aaron had come back from deployment. He met with one of his colleagues who was a geneticist and said, should we try genetic testing again? And she really wavered on being cautious only because at that point, different services could be taken away from us if he received a different diagnosis from just the straight autism. Had he been diagnosed? Yes,
Really?
yes. This is a, I
Wow.
don't know if this is a California thing, but it was definitely a military thing. You had to have the autism diagnosis. So at that point, we said, no, there's nothing else we can do except therapy, just constant therapy. But over the years, we continued with trialing different medications. Some had some horrible side effects. Some weren't even helping. So by age 10, we had exhausted all of our seizure medications, and we were being introduced to a neurosurgeon who was going to do a VNS. And we thought, okay, this is our option now. But Aaron said, you know what, let's get a second diagnosis from a neurologist. And we did. And thankfully, we did because she, at that point, Jackson was 10. Genetic testing had certainly progressed at that time. SYNGAP was actually now being recognized. And that's when we had the genetic testing done, and he came back with SYNGAP. So it was a very long journey. But yes, at age 10 is when we got the diagnosis, and we. It was a feeling of, we found it finally. Like, we can finally put our finger on it. Not that it made a difference as to having this new diagnosis, but I felt like we had searched for years. Like, what could it be? He didn't fit that autism box. But yeah, we found it finally. So.
Yeah, and it must have been a big weight off of your shoulders too, like knowing that it wasn't a result of the traumatic birth he had, and just like you finally know, I didn't cause this. Nothing that I did or didn't do caused this in my kid. I remember that being a huge grief lift for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I felt like, I had all the proper nutrition. I had done everything I was supposed to do. It's kind of interesting, when they do all these questionnaires, they ask, "Did you do illicit drugs? Did you drink? Did you, And I felt like saying, "Yes, I did, and this is the reason why." But I was so clean, even to the point where, like, I omitted tuna from my, I love tuna fish sandwiches. And I said, N no tuna, no Diet Coke, even though I drank it so rarely,
No
no
caffeine.
caffeine. I'm exercising. I'm doing absolutely everything right. But yes, it felt, I felt such a sense of relief. I had nothing to do with this. But then my next question was, what about our daughters? Will this be passed on to them? Could they potentially have a child diagnosed with SYNGAP? And meanwhile, our journey with Jackson up until age 10, it was volatile. Jackson had always had aggression, always had self-injurious behaviors, was always destructive. So we're on that other side of the SYNGAP spectrum where it's severe. There's no rainbows and birds in the air with Jackson. It's he truly has that SYNGAP snap, and And as we learned what sin got us to the brain and the mind, gosh, now we understand why he lives, or, you know, he can be in such a state of volatility. You know, it may sound harsh, but I didn't want this for our daughters. I was fearful of them, of this being carried on to their children. And once I found out, no, it's pure luck. You know, and I thought, well, heck, I rather won the lottery. What the heck? How did we get stuck with this? But, you know, we embraced it. We went with it. And also it was a sense knowing we've been doing all we can. We've been doing all the intervention. We've been doing all the therapies. There's nothing more we could have done. We couldn't have caught it at age 5 and said, here you go. Here's this new vitamin that you need. This is what you're lacking in your diet.
Right.
It's all intervention. And obviously keeping those seizures under control.
Right. So he did not get VNS, right?
Correct. He did not get VNS. Thankfully, we had a neurologist with a very open mind. And I had some girlfriends who were actively involved with a cannabis group, and they had various their children had various diagnoses of whether it be Rett's, Angelman, whether it be just all kinds of rare genetic diseases that carry the that have the epilepsy. And I had been actively speaking with them, and these are educated women. These are, you know, nurses, lawyers. So I wasn't joining this group that, you know, in Ocean Beach where we kind of hung out in the sand and spoke. These were educated women, and we got together and we shared experiences. And I thought, if this is helping them, let's try this for Jackson. Of course I needed this, this approval from our neurologist. At the time, medical marijuana wasn't, legalized, and he did need a doctor's, a prescription or note. And we got that from her, and she said, absolutely, you need to do what you can.
Awesome.
And, there's far less side effects from that than our pharmaceutical drugs. And I was also close with a medical marijuana maker and dispenser. And I felt like I also needed Aaron needed to vet this process and be 100% sure that we weren't putting something dangerous into Jackson. And they became very close friends. And so, yes, the Jaden's juice is what really kept Jackson stable with seizures and still does to this day. He is
awesome.
Also on Onfi, though, a very tough drug. However, the combination of the Onfi and Jaden's juice, that has been our go-to for years now. And we've not had to add anything else on. So we feel
That's
very
awesome.
Fortunate that we live in California and we do have access to it. Now it's obviously medically legal. So there's no more hiding hiding under that cloud or feeling like, I can't believe I'm doing this, you know, this underground thing. But so we were able to not have to do the VNS, and Onfi and Jaden's juice has been our ticket.
Yeah. I feel like as rare parents, like, the stigma that comes with anything that you're willing to try, I'm so sick of it, because there are so few of us who have to deal with the things that we deal with. It's like, you know what? If I want to try dancing naked in the rain to see if that helps, I'm going to do it. And don't judge me for it. You would probably do some of the same things if it were your own child. So, like, that cloud of, you know, we don't have to hide this anymore. I am so, like, yes, we are progressively getting to have more medical options available to most of us in most states, but it's still like, you know, don't judge a rare parent for the things that they try with their kids, because at some point you just have to try it all. Otherwise, there will be something on the table that you don't know would have helped or not. I'm glad that you brought that up. So let me ask you this. Has Jaden's juice, there are different percentages of CBD and THC in various Jaden's juice products. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. He has a whole line, whether it's straight THC, whether it's THCA. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Jackson uses is a 20-to-1 CBD THC. Mm-hmm. So it's very mm-hmm. high CBD, very low THC. And we have tried using all of Jason David's products. That is the father. Mm-hmm. He is the owner and mm-hmm. founder of Jaden's Juice. Jaden is his son. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to get that in there where I'm throwing in Jason, Jackson, Jaden. But yes, we have tried all of his products because we never know what's going to help our kiddo. And there are some kids that respond favorably to THC, you know, that's the kind mm-hmm. that supposedly makes you high and, or it can make you paranoid.
Right.
You know, with Jackson's aggression, mm-hmm. we needed some relief, and we were willing to try that before we tried some, you know, psychoactive, you know, pharmaceutical, whether he was dealing with psychosis or just aggression from dealing with seizures. You know, THCA didn't do anything, or THC didn't do anything for him. We did try it. We've also tried his THCA that doesn't have that psychoactive effect. And that just kind of puts Jackson in a mellow state. That has helped when we're in an emergent state. But yes, our mm-hmm. go-to is Jaden's juice, 20-to-1, and very, very high mm-hmm. CBD, low THC. So that's our go-to, and we're thankful that's for awesome. It. And we have driven yeah. miles to get it since it's federally illegal to mail. So yes.
Right. Well, maybe one day that will be different. Maybe we can, maybe that's on the horizon sure. for us. We'll cross sure. our fingers. So I have to say that I admire you tremendously for how open you are about talking about Jackson's aggression and how it's difficult to deal with and how it affects your family. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of SYNGAP and how it has affected you
sure.
and your family?
You know, there was always some aggression with Jackson, even as a 2-year-old, I can remember him. Actually, let me back this up. It was even before he was 2. There was always that pinching, that grabbing, and biting, and I never could figure out what was happening. I want to attribute it to uncontrolled seizures. At that point, we didn't know he was having seizures, but we right. were suspectful. We saw certain movements, his muscles tensing. And of course, at that point, we had an EEG. We had seen developmental pediatricians, mm-hmm. And there yeah. was nothing. Nothing came up. But I can remember Aaron was getting ready to deploy. And I thought we were living in this tiny military community of like 75,000, and it was filled with a bunch of military wives. And
Hold on, pause. That's not tiny.
Okay.
I live in like Podunk, Mississippi, where we have 55,000 people total, and that's good.
Okay. So I was coming from big city San Diego. Big city, Virginia, where, you know, the White True. House was down the street. Okay, so we moved to this tiny community. I thought it was so super tiny. And and these moms told me, you know what? It would it would do some great if you could take some time out for yourself. You could join the mommy's morning out at this church. They'll watch Jackson for, you know, a couple of mornings, so you can just have your time to yourself, do whatever you want. And I thought, this is going to be perfect. Aaron's getting ready to deploy. I can run to the commissary. I can do whatever I need. I've got 2 hours to myself. Okay. So Aaron deploys. I feel like I've got all my ducks in order. And Jackson is there for probably a month and a half. And he's getting kicked out. No. And I thought, what? Are you kidding me? Like I need this outlet, and this nice church, they're asking me not to bring my kid anymore, not to bring my sweet, almost 2-year-old boy. Like, what's happening? And he was aggressive. He was grabbing sweet little girl's hair. He was going after them, trying to bite them. He was pinching. He was leaving them in tears. And I thought, oh my gosh, this, I can't believe this is happening. Like, it was heart wrenching, because I had two perfect little angel girls that could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. So the aggression started young, and it just progressed. And, you know, as we introduced different seizure drugs, that introduced more side effects, which one of them was aggression. And it was just our nightmare, whether, you know, of course I was by myself when all this aggression was happening. And Jackson was into scratching and biting. And to this day, I have scars. I'm covered in scars, on my neck, on my arms,
God, I'm sorry.
You know, my chest from Jackson scratching, biting, and he was destructive. Even at age, you know, 3 and a half, going on 4, we couldn't have things on our walls. He would break things, pull them down. You know, we had to learn at an early age that the girls had to close their doors. That was their sanctuary, their serenity place where they could go. And you know, it was okay that they closed their doors. Jackson was not allowed to go in there. He could destroy in a second's notice. That's how it's always been. You know, gosh, I can tell you, we've had doors being broken from him, trying to smash through them with his fists, chairs being thrown, and he was young. He was 6, 7 years old. And, you know, as weak as our Syngapians are, they are so strong. When that Syngap snap hits, you know, I've got a car that's destroyed from him tearing the backs of the seats from kicking. At one point, we had to use, you know, seat restraints so that he couldn't grab the back of the driver, the back of the passengers. The girls had to be in certain seats in the back row, or he'd attack them. He would grab their hair. He would,
oh my gosh,
go after them, biting. And again, something was happening internally that we didn't know about. We didn't know whether he was having an epileptiform discharge. We just didn't know what was triggering, whether it was the side of the freeway, the whether it was jolting his vision. We didn't know. And I think, you know, we always kept our daughter super active with competitive sports. So they lived their life. They lived their lives at the gym. They were kept away from a lot of this. They often experienced it, you know, in the car, when we were commuting, but they were able to dive themselves into their sports, and they excelled at that. And that was their way, and our way of protecting them. We really thought we were doing them a service, allowing them to have their outlet. But it wasn't until COVID hit. So I fast forwarded several years. It wasn't until COVID hit and we were in complete lockdown here in California. I mean, literally, we couldn't leave our houses. Our daughters now were living back at home. They'd come back from living in the dorms or their apartments, now back at the house. And it was the three of us. Aaron would go off to work, put in several hours dealing with COVID testing, not knowing what was happening with this pandemic, and our ABA therapist. They were dedicated to us and they were our outlet. We were their outlet. But it wasn't until we were living in the pandemic under lockdown and we were all going crazy. And how do you explain to a child, or at this point, Jackson was 16, 15, 16. Actually, he was younger than that, 14. Anyways, he was in eighth grade at the time. And his whole world shut down, his whole outlet as far as therapies, his school, what he had known for so many years, catching the bus, his whole world shut down. We couldn't go outside, we couldn't go to the parks. And then we had to teach him about, if we were to see people walking in our neighborhood, they were wearing masks. So he went, internally we were all going crazy, and that's really what pushed Jackson over the edge, and aggression set in. And
Oh
at
no.
this time he was already so big and so strong, and there was no way to hide from. We were always very open with our therapist, our ABA therapist, but the fact that our girls were being exposed to this, and they were often his victim as well. There's nowhere you can go.
Oh,
You're living in a house.
right.
Yes, we have a backyard, and yes, we did utilize that outside space to just check out and do our thing. But for the first time, they were having to help me. They were having to protect themselves. They were having to protect me. From Jackson and his destruction, and it was heart-wrenching. I'd never cried so much.
Oh,
And the
Monica.
girls too, they were breaking down, and they said, "How did you hide this from us?" They never realized how tough it was that we had to deal with this, and the fact that this was our life. This is what we had gone through for many years. And we tried to tell him, like, we thought we were helping you by not showing you all of this. We wanted them to have their own separate lives. But it wasn't until they were exposed to it. And it was suggested by our ABA therapist that we get counseling because I was suffering from PTSD. I had no idea. And Aaron would walk in the door and he was our outlet to the world. And he was bombarded by us, talking about Jackson and the stress we had gone through that day. Yet he was dealing with his own chaos of the pandemic because that's what he specialized in his job. But it wasn't until we sought outside help, and I have to say that tremendously helped us, and it helped us all. We all had to do family counseling, and miso, or especially for myself, I didn't realize how much stress I held and how much PTSD I had from Jackson. And it sounds absolutely horrible, but I never knew if he was going to make a sound or if he was going to go after me. And it was only emphasized more being in the pandemic. And so yeah, it was the pandemic that really pushed our family. very close to the tipping point where we weren't sure, do we need to explore a group home? Do we need to, we had a crisis plan in place. We were instructed to call 911. Okay, I'm sorry, you can't call 911 on a Sinagapian. He'd be killed. Like, seriously, he would be killed. He looks very
Yeah, forget it.
normal. There's no outwardly, there's just nothing that says, he has Sinagap, or not that they would understand it. So, our neighbors all knew what was happening. We had to push through it. We started group counseling. In the pandemic, literally, we would lock ourselves wherever we could to talk to a therapist. And thankfully, we have an amazing therapist who was also a BCBA. So she understood the autism part. She understood what we were going through as far as the aggression. She couldn't completely encompass, Sinagap. However, she understood the autism piece of it and the severity. And still to this day, I have to say, fast forward, gosh, 2, 3 years, we still actively see her. Each one of us, we told our daughters, it is up to you whether you choose to do this. We are willing to pay for it because it is our situation that brought you into this. And still to this day, we meet with her faithfully. I know Erin and I do, our daughters do when they can, and she's our outlet, and she has helped us tremendously with breathing exercises, with ways to dial down our nervous system. But I have to say that that also allowed us to explore different medications with Jackson. As much as we had such a hard time dealing with different pharmaceuticals and putting him on medications for this, that, and whatever, we knew we needed more. And we needed that, or Jackson was going to end up in some state hospital at his age, and they weren't going to have a clue what to do to help him. And so it with the help of our BCBA, who took meticulous data on everything to sleep, to constipation, to aggression, to how long it lasted, our what situation we were in, what environment it was, we were able to gain some stability with the help of a psychiatric doctor, or maybe he's a psychiatrist. Actually, he's a psychiatrist who deals with only very complex patients, and he was willing to Zoom with us. He was able to reach Jackson, whether it was in the living room. And there were a lot of things that were diagnosed that we didn't even realize were happening to Jackson, such as tics. We thought these were seizures that we were seeing. And when nothing came up under these EEGs that we did, we're like, what the heck? Why are we seeing his eyes roll? Why are we hearing him make these noises? And they were tics. And he too was dealing with the stress of the pandemic, being locked in your house, the fact that he had to end a school and start a school without having that closure. And when this was his life for how many years? And then we reintroduce him to this new school that wasn't able to meet his needs. So we were able to finally, we're finally at a place where Jackson is stable. Yes, he does have still a lot of self-injurious behaviors. He's a huge hand biter. At times when he becomes very stressed, he's an eye gouger. But we've learned what medications help. I do have to say that we have started him on some anti-anxiety, anti-depression meds that have helped tremendously.
Oh, that's great.
So So yes, we've had to add medications to the mix. I did not want to. We drug our feet, but it has been the best thing for Jackson. We have some peace. He has some peace within. I cannot imagine what he goes through with living with this sin gap and internally what's happening with these epileptiform discharges, with these seizures that go unnoticed. And hormones. Oh my gosh. You know, he's going to be 18. We were like in the right in the middle of pandemic with him experiencing puberty. Like that,
right?
That is so,
it was the
perfect storm. But yes, we still have some volatility. We still have some table flips. We still have some chairs flipping, throwing. There's absolutely nothing on our walls. I have managed to put plants up. That is my sanctuary. That is the way I can dial my nervous system through my plants. You know what? Mm-hmm. If he throws a pot and there's dirt, okay, so be it. It's going to break, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sweep it up, you know? But I'm happy to say that he does more. It's kind of sad to say he does more self-injurious behaviors than he does cause aggression at this point. We do have our snaps still, but they have vastly improved because of the medications he's on now, and the stability the stability that we have been able to create. You know, resuming California opening up and going back to school and switching schools. So he has able to, be at a, he's at a good point right now.
Good. I can't yet imagine what you have been through, and just hearing about it makes me hurt for you and for your girls and Aaron. I know that a lot of us aren't there yet with our younger Syngapians, and it's, something that we all fear. But your strength gives me strength to know that we will be able to get through it and that it's going to get hard. No matter how hard it can get, we can get through it. We are strong and we can persevere. So thank you so much for opening up and being so vulnerable. I really appreciate it, Monica. Let's switch things up a bit. I want you to tell me your favorite thing about Jackson. What is something that makes you happiest about him?
Jackson has the best laugh, and his authenticity. He is able to display joy without a filter. He's fully transparent, and
yeah,
I love that about him, because so much of us live in this world of we're constantly being watched as parents of having a child with special needs. I feel like we go outside our four walls and we turn on this life of we've got together, even though we don't,
right?
But we feel like we have to, and I don't know where this comes from. Maybe it's because we have two other girls that were pretty perfect in our eyes, but Jackson lets it out, and he's fully transparent. And that is one of the things he has taught me to do, was to let my guard down. He has taught me, like, it's okay. It's okay to show that we're pissed off. And whether he's hand biting, you know, okay, so I want to slam my car door, you know, it's okay. But he's very authentic. He shows, he has full transparency on who he likes and who he dislikes. Not that that's great. You know, he could have some skill with that, but I love that. And I love that he can show joy in the most perfect way. And whether he's at the beach and his hands are flapping, whether he's screeching from the top of his lungs, or his facial expressions just express such joy. And that's something often we hold together, right? We can laugh, we can giggle, but then we hear ourselves in videos and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we laugh like that. Or look at that smile. That smile is not perfect. That is so not flattering. Just to see that in Jackson, that just makes me smile. That just brightens my day. And to hear him laugh when he's watching his videos, when he's in his own world, Jackson absolutely loves watching, or I should say looking at old videos on his iPad, and pictures and favorable pictures, whether they're experiences of him surfing, whether they're at the carousel, whether they are SeaWorld. He has an absolute favorite one of him and Tony Graglia. We call him Tony G, and we kind of say it, you know, with a little flavor, Tony G. And it's of him and Tony on the journey to Atlantis, and Jackson looks over at him. This is years ago. I don't know. Maybe actually, I think it was right before the pandemic hit. But Jackson has always been much larger than Jackson, given. I mean, Tony, given the age. But Jackson looks at Tony like, dude, you have no idea. We are going to plummet here. And Jackson reaches over, grabs Tony G, and squeezes him. Like, of course he was a little fearful, but he was grabbing Tony like, oh my gosh, dude, like, this is the best. And to look at his face after that, and so he replays that video over and over and over again. but to look at him giggle and to hear him giggle, it just brings such peace. It really does, because even us, we're going to smile at a picture. We're going to kind of feel that warmth in our heart when we see a video. But Jackson, he lets it out. And I love that about him. And Jackson absolutely loves going to church. And this was our outlet with Jackson throughout all of our years. Our church family really loved on me, especially when Aaron was gone. Loved on our daughters when they most needed it during their formative years. And they always welcomed Jackson into the nursery. They never turned him down. Despite his aggression, despite if he was having seizures, he was always welcomed. And now I can say, we really missed that during the pandemic. Everything was online, but we returned. It's going to be a year ago that we were able to return in September, and Aaron and I knew we were only going to be able to return to church if they accepted Jackson for who he was without support, because we had our daughters at the time to provide support with their friends, their buddies. Jackson had at one time a team of like 20 teens and young adults that would take him at a service, and they would just entertain him. They entertain him. They were on their phones. Wow. He was on his iPad. But those kids have grown up. They're young adults. They're parents now. And we knew if we were going to return to church, we needed to be able to support Jackson, just Aaron and I. And everyone around us, they were going to have to be okay with the noises Jackson made, with his stemming. Jackson can have a huge stem. And that's his expression. That's his joy. And of course, we have to control it at some point, because some of those stems can learn to tip him over and he can have a snap. We felt like, okay, this is Jackson. We have to be authentic. We have to be transparent. there's no way to hide this anymore. And going to church has been amazing for Jackson and for us too. But the fact that he can sit among adults, children, babies, he has his headphones. We have our certain spot that we sit, and he enjoys the music. And, you know, we always say, Jackson is filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch him. Look at him. He loves church. And
that's so great.
It's honestly beautiful for us. And people just smile at him, and you know that they wish they can be expressing the way Jackson can. But so it's Jackson's joy. So to bring it back to Jackson, it's his full transparency. It's his delight that it's his happiness that he can share. That's what brings me joy.
I love that. I really, really love that for you. I'm so glad that's a valuable part of your lives. Okay, so let's end with something that I'm going to start doing regularly now. Can you tell me one piece of advice you can share about how to live a happy life with SYNGAP?
This is tough. And I have to say, I'm able to do this because of help with our therapist. I have learned to ask for help. I have learned also that I can tell people how I feel, like, especially after an attack or an aggressive attack or property destruction in the home. I'm able to say truly how I feel about it and know that this is not Jackson. This is the disease.
Right.
This is the disease that's doing it to him. And I know that. And I know that Jackson does not like the way it makes him feel after he's attacked me. I see remorse. I see him want to hug me, even though I'm so deathly afraid that he could destroy me in a second. Within seconds, I could be destroyed. But it's my vulnerability going back to him saying, I know that's not you. I know you didn't mean to do this. But we have to have, I encourage parents to have a trusted friend to be able to express their anger, their sorrows. And even though this person may not be able to do a darn thing, they can empathize with you. They can get it. They can't completely understand what you're feeling. However, you have that outlet. You're able to say that to your friend. I had a hard time really, I've learned to tell Aaron more about it. I have to say that I learned to be very tough being a military wife, and that's not great. That's not great. Because I held it in and I thought, oh, I can handle this all by myself. I can do this. I'm strong. And it's so not true because it just killed me inside. But you need that trusted friend. And I have to say that I have those trusted people even within our SYNGAP group rather, to be able to speak openly and I know I can trust them. And I know that what is said within us is going to stay within us. And so I encourage parents, even especially fathers, especially dads, moms too. Moms, I think it's easier for moms to do, but dads need to have those relationships with other fathers to share. It's equally as hard for moms, but for dads, like to see their kids, especially their sons. It's heart wrenching for them. I have to say that, especially to have the severity that Jackson has. Like, you know, Aaron's like an Iron Man. Like, you know,
Literally,
he does Iron Man. Like, and that's his. way to check out of life. But, you know, Jackson can barely hold a broom. He can't do a cycle, a cycle on a bicycle. Right. He can't run. Parents need that outlet, and they need to be able to share their concerns, their journey, their sadness. And it, of course, they need to find that safe space to be able to do it. Right. And they need to be able to cry about it. And then, of course, you need to be able to express your joys and your accomplishment with your Simgapian, and mm-hmm. not try to hide, or not, I'm not saying hide, but to be more transparent about your challenges. You're going to find out who your real friends are, and the friends that can't handle your stress. And that's okay. That's okay, because our lives, mm-hmm. our journeys, they're tough, they're hard. And you mm-hmm. want those people that are going to be able to lift you up, and that are going to be able to be there for you in your darkest days. So you need that outlet, and you also need therapists. You need a therapist, an MFT. I want to say that everybody needs one. I encourage them to get them, have them in place, and speak regularly to them, because we don't know how this is affecting our children, our marriage. Right. I mean, odds are against our marriages mm-hmm. already. We need to keep our marriages strong. Single parents, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I don't know how single parents do it. They need an outlet. They need that support. They need to be able to vent. I strongly encourage people to have therapists to be able to speak to, and to get help from. We need it. And to live in our community, this SynGap world, we are as isolated as we are. We are so not isolated. We have each other. We've learned from each other. I've learned more mm-hmm. from this community than anybody. More than our doctors have told us. It is, collaborating with families, and, knowing the research and literature, and learning directly hands-on from the families.
I wholeheartedly agree with you about needing a therapist and to lean into our SRF community. The one thing that I have gotten more joy and just a sense of accomplishment, really, just by talking to and getting to know and getting to meet in person other SynGap families, to have that immediate connection with somebody, and you can just let it all out and be real without any fear of judgment, is so necessary and cathartic. Monica, you and I met in San Diego a couple of months ago. Kevin and I were able to come out and visit, and we were at dinner, and we just sat down and eaten, and we just immediately started talking about poop. And I remember thinking, there's no other context where this would be socially acceptable. And here we are in this beautiful, fancy restaurant overlooking the ocean, and we're just talking about constipation and what we do about it. And it was like, I don't think any of us thought twice about that. And it was so normal, and just like, I can't believe I didn't have to check myself in that. And it was so rewarding. So I want to wrap by saying that everybody should connect with other SynGap families as often as you can possibly find time in your lives, because it really does make all the difference in the world for how you feel and how you can grapple with whatever situation you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
So, Monica, I can't thank you enough. I am continually inspired by you, and I admire you so much, as do so many other people in our community. So thank you for being that pillar for us and that rock that we can lean to. And thank you very much for your
time
today.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. I'm so glad we were able to do this. Me too. It brings me great joy that I'm able to share our side and how it's been, our journey.
Me too. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, we will have another episode for you, hopefully within another couple of weeks. Thanks again.
Okay, bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and like us wherever you're listening. For more information about today's guest and SYNGAP1, please check out our show notes. Your suggestions are always welcome. Please email us at ed@curesyngap1.org.